Boy.
Was that me? Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Hey there, welcome home. It is good to be home. And we like to sing a version of I'll Be Home for Christmas, but I think we're going to save it for Sunday. So that'll give you a little tease if you know that. But we're glad that you're here with us. Thank you for celebrating Christmas Eve with us. It is a special time of year for all of us as we celebrate our Savior. And we just thank Him. It's not just His coming, but the cradle points to the cross because He died on the cross for our sins. Cross points to the crown because someday He's coming again and He's our King. And we're just so glad that you're here with us to celebrate this Christmas evening. And my prayer is that as you are gathering together as families, that the Lord is just going to bless this time together. Our prayer is that you find and rekindle your joy. You remember having the joy as a kid of Christmas time? Well, that joy can be refound in your heart and your lives when you get close to the Savior. There are so many scriptures that talk about restore unto me the joy of your salvation, it says in the Psalms. It also says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when we get together to worship, it says in Philippians that complete my joy so your joy will be full. And so that's our goal tonight. We want to be able to worship the Lord and have joy in Him. So as I welcome you, I want to just get one thing out of the way, and that's the candle etiquette. Candle etiquette. Got to do it every year when we have our candle, which is probably one of my favorite times, towards the end of the service. We're going to have some folks that are going to come up here towards the end of the service, and I'm going to light their candles. But when you light a candle, you don't tip. You don't tip your candle into the flame, because what happens is the wax drips. So what you do is you keep your candle upright and let the person with the candle tip in, or lit candle tip into you to light your candle, okay? And then, wait, I said that wrong, didn't I? I'm just testing you. No. So the candle is, and you with the unlit tip in to get the candle. Yay, I got it. So don't do everything that I just said, okay? All right, we want to have a great evening tonight. And so, but parents, be very careful with the candles and with your kids. And then when we close the service, make sure that you blow the candles out and don't just set them down right away, because then the wax will leak out all over the place. And we want to make sure that the candles are returned to the baskets in the foyer as you walked in. So, all right, well, I'm going to just open in prayer, and we're going to begin our evening tonight. So, Father, thank you so much for this evening, for the importance of Christmas, for the joy and the miracle of a relationship with the Savior, the King of Glory, who takes on just the being fully God and just putting Himself into a human body called incarnation and coming down here, living life with us, showing us how we can find that relationship with our Father God. And Father, we just ask that you would rekindle more than just candles tonight, that in our hearts, that the Spirit of God would work in such a way that we're not just stirred, but we're changed. And that the Spirit of God would aliven and rekindle what is the true joy of salvation in our hearts and lives. And for those that already know the Savior, that you would allow the joy of the Lord to be strengthened in them. And we pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. We're going to start with the hymn. So Sheila, go ahead.
We are. And I'm going to ask, Barb, if you would open the back doors so the folks who are waiting back there can participate in this song and the leaf rattling, the lighting of the wreath. Welcome home, everyone. It's so good to see you all here. Let's praise our Lord together. Would you stand and let's sing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world.
all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. The circle of the wreath reminds us of God Himself, His eternity and endless mercy, which has no beginning or end. The green of the wreath speaks of salvation that we have in God, the hope of newness, of renewal, of eternal life. Each candle symbolizes light of God coming into the world through the birth of His Son. The four outer candles represent the period of waiting during the four Sundays of Advent, which themselves symbolize the four centuries of waiting between the prophet Malachi and the birth of Christ.
We light again each of the four outer candles. The candle of hope is the sign that God kept His prophecies of old. The candle of peace has been a symbol to help us prepare our hearts as God prepared a place for the birth of His Son. The candle of joy reminds us to share the joy of Jesus Christ's birth as the angels did to the shepherds. The fourth candle we relight is the candle of love to remember God's love for the world in giving His only begotten Son to be our Savior.
These candles have been a visual way to unfold the story of Christ's first Advent coming and to direct our attention to wait for His second Advent. The flame of each new candle reminds us that more is yet to come. Finally, we can light the center candle. This candle is white to represent the spotless Lamb of God. The central location of this candle reminds us that Jesus is to be the heart of this season. With the lighting of this candle, we as worshipers can rejoice for the words in Luke 2:11. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
Bow your head in prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the supreme and most selfless gift ever given, the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that if someone here tonight has never received Him, that you would speak to their heart. May they know your blessed redemption and find true life. We also pray and hope for your second coming. We ask you to come soon. Thank you for being the light in this dark world. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
PCBC Chorale is going to share with you a wonderful Christmas musical entitled Bethlehem's Light.
Shine, for your light has come. You prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God.
Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Government shall be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace.
There were some shepherds outside of Bethlehem that night when Jesus was born. They were tending their sheep just as shepherds had done for hundreds of years before them. Most likely the night was peaceful and probably a few of them were sleeping. Imagine their amazement when an angel of the Lord appeared to them announcing that the Savior, Christ the Lord, had been born. Suddenly, the sky was filled with angels, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on
left them, the shepherds decided to see for themselves what this good news was all about. So they hurried off to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant baby Jesus, just as the angels had said. They wasted no time spreading the word about this child, all the while glorifying and praising God for everything that they had seen. And everyone who heard was amazed at what they had said.
Healing grace for
don't know all that happened the night when Jesus was born, but we do know that a later time, others came to worship the Christ child, and they brought costly gifts from faraway lands. Led by a star, these wise men were compelled to honor the Prince of Peace, and we too would pay our tribute this day. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Joyful, busy, often hectic celebration we call Christmas will be over. Festivities and decorations will be put away, and for some, the joy of the season will vanish with them. But the child of Bethlehem is Emmanuel. God is with us. The Father's greatest gift is here among us now. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. Arise, shine, your light is come. Jesus, the Prince of Peace.
Blessing you, Prince of Peace.
For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We come at Christmas time and we have millions of these things, and they've been going around in our minds and our heads and our hearts, and they're jumbled, and we're all excited. We write them down, we make lists, we get everything ready, and we spend a lot of money, and we start feeling pretty guilty, and sometimes we get a card in the mail from Aunt Edna, and we're like, I forgot to give her a card, and then we're worried about the price and the cost of things, and we're trying our hardest. What is it, these things that we give our attention to that come every year, the thing that we focus on all the time, every year, and yet at Christmas time they come to the prominence of our hearts and our minds? What is it? What is the thing that we have at this time? Gifts? No, good intentions. Good intentions. And sometimes we fail in the good intentions. I read a story of a gal who was in the hospital for a major surgery, and it was just impossible. Her name was Bonnie Shepherd, and I want you to hear her story as she talks about the good intentions that she had as she woke up after her surgery in the hospital. And I really think that we're all going to relate to this, because when it comes to celebrating Christ, you may have come in here with good intentions. But don't just come in with good intentions. Come in with something more. This is what she writes. She said, I struggled to open my eyes after sleeping for the better part of 2 days following my surgery. I became more alert and looked around, and it looked like Christmas had happened in my room. Red poinsettias. I looked around, a holiday wreath from the church, endless piles of Christmas and get well cards. Family taped them all over my walls. On the stand next to my bed was a small tree decorated with ornaments that my children had made. The shelf over the sink held a Yule log holding a dozen candles from my neighbors. I was overwhelmed with all the love and attention. Maybe being in the hospital at Christmas time wasn't so bad after all, I thought. My husband said friends had brought meals to the family and helped clean the house. Isn't that what Christmas is about? I prayed and thanked God for all he gave me. Flowers, more flowers, said a voice startling me from my thoughts, and in came a nurse carrying the most beautiful centerpiece of roses I had ever seen in my life. She handed me the card. I guess we're going to have to send you home, she teased. We're running out of space here, and you're so thought of this Christmas. She took more cards out of her pocket, and she gave them to me. And before leaving the room, she pulled back the pale green privacy curtain between the two beds. And while I was reading my cards, I heard, yep, I like them flowers. I looked up to see a woman in the bed next to me. Yep, I like them flowers, she said again. My roommate was a small 40-something woman with short gray hair who had Down syndrome. She stared at my flowers with childlike wonder. I felt a little embarrassed. I introduced myself. I'm Bonnie, I told her. What's your name? My name is Ginger, she said, rolling her eyes towards the ceiling, pressing her lips together as she spoke. The doctor could have fit my... Ginger and I talked till dinner time. And she told me about the group home where she lived and how she wanted to get back to the Christmas party. She never mentioned a family, and I didn't ask. That evening, I had several visitors, but Ginger didn't say anything. She just watched as my family gathered around me, and we talked and laughed. And then they left, and she said, yep, I like your family. The next morning, she said, I got to go for my surgery. Doctor, going to fit my foot. And I noticed at that moment the stark contrast between our sides of the room. It finally hit me. Ginger's bed stood neatly made. She had no cards, no flowers, no visitors. My side bloomed with flowers and cards reminding how much I was loved. And then I know I decided I'm going to give her something of mine. So I walked to the window and picked up a centerpiece. And this would look good on my dinner table. I set it back down. What about the poinsettias? And then I realized how much the deep red plants would brighten our entrance and our turn of the century home. Of course, I couldn't give away my roses. They were from my parents. I shouldn't be expected to. I mean, I really could use most of these things, and they had so many memories and precious things because they were from my kids and neighbors and family. I just couldn't. Well, you know what I can do? I'll shop in the morning. So a candy striper brought in Ginger from her surgery, situated her in bed, and then pulled out a little paper wreath and gave it to Ginger. And Ginger was so excited. Look what I got. This is beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. She sat and she looked at her wreath almost all day. She just kept looking at it and kept saying, I like this wreath. I like this wreath. And yet, she was so thankful for something as simple as a paper wreath. Something as simple that was just given to her from someone in the hospital. And yet, I felt guilt because I needed to get her something. And it wasn't nothing I had to give. Sometimes those good intentions hit us the same way that it hit Donna Shepherd. Sometimes we think to ourselves, this is Christmas time and we're going to get gifts or things for the people that we love. And we work hard at it and we try to keep the secret. Sometimes we're all excited about what they're going to open and the things that they're going to get. And we have all these good intentions. We're going to come to church. We're going to feel good as a family. We're going to feel the love. Joy to the world. But yet, inside, we are missing. We might have good intentions sometimes when we come to God, but we're missing some of the greatest opportunity and gifts that he can give to us. There is a joy that God can give, deep joy. It's not happiness. It's different than happiness. Happiness comes because it's a feeling, because of your circumstances, but true joy is that deep down relationship, down deep in your heart, knowing that everything is right between you and God, and nothing can touch it and no one can disturb it, because you have that deep down relationship. That's joy. You can have all the good intentions in the world this Christmas, but if you don't have that deep down joy, do you really have what you need for Christmas? Do you know, when we think about giving gifts at Christmas time, I think about the greatest gift that God can give us, and it doesn't come in wrapped packages and bows, but it's a gift nonetheless that I have a gift box that it's going to demonstrate to us what God's gift for us is. It's very simple. When you take off the cover, remember, God, the gift that God gives is salvation, and it comes from heaven. And God is holy, and he's perfect, and the gold wrapping reminds us that he is different than we are. We have sin in our lives. We have brokenness and hurt. We lie, we cheat, we steal. There are things that we do that we're ashamed of. There are things that we say that are hateful. There are times that we break our promises. There are times that we hurt others. We get depressed. We get anxious. There are times when we even try to feel proud of ourselves and try to pump ourselves up. But the Bible tells us that all we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But see, God is different. God is other. A lot of people, they say, you know, I'm so mad at God. I'm so frustrated at him because he doesn't give me good things or the things that I want. But it's not God that is the problem. The problem is us. Inside this box that reminds us that God is perfect in heaven, he loves us and wants us to come to him, there is something that reminds us of our problem, and that is the straw. When you go to the manger, remember the straw that was at the manger? Now, this isn't the hay. I made a mistake when I was doing this earlier with someone who is a real farmer. And when I said, this is hay, and they said, no, that's not going to work, Pastor, because hay's good and animals eat the hay. You mean the straw, because the straw part's the part that goes down on the floor, and that's what the animals deal with. The smelly stuff. Ah, okay, so this isn't the hay. This is the straw. Straw reminds us of our lives because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we've all sinned in our lives. There's not a one of us here that can say, I am perfect and I've never done anything wrong in our lives. There's not a single one of us, but the Bible tells us that there is a consequence to sin in our lives. Because what sin does is this. Take your hands, put them together, and then do this. Sin separates us from God. Sin makes him distant and far away. That's why we don't see him. Sin pushes his holiness away from us and makes us darkness. Sin in our life breaks the fellowship and the joy that we could have in knowing God. Sin is the reason why we don't have that joy. Sin is the reason why that we don't have that fellowship. But you know, there's something in this box that reminds us that there's a remedy to that. It's a little piece of wood. You'd almost say it's a splinter. In fact, it's a little piece of wood that's made into a cross. And this little cross reminds us of the fact that what Jesus did on the cross was not just a little thing, it was the greatest thing of all. Because when Jesus was born in this manger, he was everything of God. He didn't just appear at Christmas time. He was the creator. He was with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He was there before eternity and time began. And it was the plan of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to save and clean up mankind from their sin. But the way that they did it was that they chose this perfect time in world history to drop in, and he lived the life that we could not live. He lived a pure and holy life because Christ was perfect. And what they did was that they... Why? Because he took punishment for our sin. God's plan. And this is a little crown of thorn. Crown of thorn reminds us that our sins stung him and drew his blood in it. And if I were to die for you, it wouldn't do anything because I'm a sinner. His precious blood was the only payment for our sin. And here's the best news of all. When you go into a manger, you see the wool of the lamb. And this little cotton ball reminds us that the scriptures say this, though our sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow and wool. In other words, what Jesus did when he died on the cross, he wasn't just dying to be a good example. He wasn't just dying so that you could know he did a good thing and you can try to copy him. He was doing what we could not do. He died so that our hearts could be cleansed and made pure. The Bible called him the Passover lamb, the lamb who shed his blood for us. And what God did was when he looked down on that lamb, he exchanged his righteousness and goodness and everything that we weren't, and it was laid onto our lives, and our sin was laid into him. Listen, I have a friend who has cancer, leukemia, and we were talking, how you doing? The leukemia is in remission, and it won't go away. And I said to my friend, I said, you know, more than anything in the world, I wish that I could take my blood cells and put them into you. But what would happen if we took your blood cells and put them into me? He said, you'd die for me. And what would happen to you? You would live. See, that's what Jesus did when he was on that cross. He was taking the payment for our sin, almost as if he was putting the purity of everything that he was as God and injecting it into you and taking your sin and darkness and cancer from you and putting it onto him. And he died and he rose again. And it's more than just knowing that. The Bible tells us that when we believe and put our trust in him, that we can grow in him. And this evergreen reminds us of everlasting life. It's the one tree that all through the winter never loses its needles. It always stays green, and it always points upward, and it always reminds us of the life that we can have in Christ. And see, that's the gift that Christ gives you and me, and it brings light. It brings light into our lives. And so let me ask you this question. Do you, more than just know that, have you ever asked and believed that Christ died for you? Because the Bible tells us, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, you can know about the gift, and maybe you've lived your whole life knowing about God, knowing about the gift, but you never by faith opened it up and received it to yourself. Don't leave here if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Don't leave here, because that's just good intentions. And that good intentions isn't going to do anything for you. If you don't act by faith upon what you know to be true, you're going to lose an opportunity. And that's what happened to Bonnie Shepherd. Let me finish her story. So Bonnie was sitting in the bed the next morning, and Ginger, the Down syndrome girl, was getting ready to go home. And every person who Ginger would see at her care home would probably hear about what? Her wreath. She loved the wreath. But I still felt guilt, she writes, that I didn't give her anything. So as the nurse put Ginger in her wheelchair and began to wheel her out of the room, I said, Ginger, I really, it was a real pleasure to meet you. And Ginger said, pointed over to Bonnie, and she motioned the nurse to wheel her over, and she wheeled her over, and Ginger said, I like the wreath, but I like you more. And she put the wreath on her. And she turned around and went out the door, and Bonnie sat there with tears in her eyes. All I have to give, and I wasn't willing to give. I had good intentions, but I wasn't willing to give. And here's somebody who had little, but she gave her all. Jesus did the same thing for you. And he wants you to receive him as personal Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, let it be tonight. Let him be the one. Ask him to be in your heart and life.
to finish out Bethlehem's Light with a medley of Christmas carols. They'll be projected on the screens, so please feel free to join in the singing.
I'm going to need you to step down now. Thank you, guys. No, just go on down. So this is the favorite part. One of the things that I love about is the candlelight is that, you know, candles illuminate best when there's darkness around. And listen, we live in a dark world, don't we? You can't go from day to day and not see the things that happen, the craziness that's around us. And really, Christ shines his light so that our hearts can be changed and saved and rescued and won. And we want to give our heart. We don't just want to speak the words. We want to give our hearts to him. And when we do, we find this joy. And it's almost like his light comes into ours and lights our lives. I'm going to ask those that are ushers to come and join me. And there are candles right here. Wyatt, do you know the Lord is your Savior?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you take that light? And do you, Barb?
Yes, I do.
Whoop. There we go. Do you know the Lord is your Savior, Mark?
Absolutely, I do, Pastor.
How about you, Jackie?
Yes.
So what is great about the message of the joy of Christ is as we spread the light of the candle, the darkness lessens and the brightness grows. So we're going to sing O Holy Night and then Silent Night as we pass the lights through the congregation. Go ahead.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining.
Thank you for this evening. Father, would light joy and rekindle it in our hearts, that it wouldn't just be a little gladness or a little feeling, but it's that deep rooted sense of confidence that we have a relationship through Jesus Christ our Lord with you, and nothing can touch it. No trial, no death, no sadness, no fear, no despair. Father, you heal the brokenhearted and you set the captive free. So set our hearts free. Don't let anyone steal our joy, no matter how they treat us. Help us to always share the light of Christ with joy and hope. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to put the lights up. You can blow out your candles. Thank you for joining us. You're dismissed.